Hey, greetings. This is Brother James at DontPerish.com, John 424 Radio. Thanks for joining me today. I want to talk to you about kind of a relevant topic in the culture today. Same-sex attraction in the body of Christ. Have you heard of this? Same-sex attraction in the body of Christ. I'm sure that you're aware we live in a time and an age where the family unit and the biblical sexuality that God ordained and created has come under attack the last decades like never before. We've all seen, if we're old enough, the damage of the free sex movement of the 60s and 70s, the gay marriage movement in the 90s, around the year 2000 and beyond, the transgender movement that's really come on really strong of late. These are all devastating when allowed to creep in to the so-called body of Christ. I call it so-called. We're talking about churchianity here for the most part. Now, there's a new strategy. Of late, there's people that are talking about their same-sex attracted Christians. This is literally a label that the so-called bodies of Christ and pastors and liberal theologians are using, a same sex attracted Christian. It's a label that they're using. And so I want to talk about that here today. Can that description be consistent with God's holy word and God's people, naming yourself attracted to the same sex? Let's go to God's word and let's be clear about what God says about homosexuality, same-sex attraction. Romans 1, 26, 28. You know, a lot of people run to the Old Testament where God says it's abomination for men to lie with men and women to lie with women. I'll take you right to Romans 1, 26 and 28. For this cause God gave them up unto their vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves in that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So we can see right from God's word very clearly, God has not changed his mind. He views homosexuality, same-sex attraction, this is sin, it's outside of his created order for men and women. So this same-sex attraction is just a new term they've come up with. It's another way that they're trying to infiltrate, again, the so-called body of Christ, the churchianity. And they're allowing the culture to dictate the standards. And so many so-called bodies of Christ are falling for it. You know, it's like the frog, you set him in water, you put a burner underneath him, and before he knows it, he boils to death because he never notices the temperature change. That's what's going on with so many people. They don't read the Bible, they don't study the Bible, they're not born of God's Spirit, they don't see the temperature change in the culture around them, and they're trying to be kind and nice and friendly. Okay, those are good traits, but not to the point to where we sin against God. God's first. Then we're kind and nice and loving, but we keep his word first. And we're seeing the destruction in all these places, like the frog in the boiling water. The liberal minds, the false pastors, they're pushing this idea. And here's what they say. This is how they say, oh no, it's still holy. They say, it's okay to call a person a same-sex attracted Christian as long as they're not living out their lusts and their desires. See, they're fighting it. They're not living it out, but they're same-sex attracted. They like to put a label on this. And what the label does, I'm going to go over some points here. The label creates a lot of sin and false doctrine and false issues. We'll cover those in a minute. And so another thing I want to cover, way back several decades ago when the gay movement was trying to get into the body of Christ, the so-called churchianity, they did the same thing. They had people go and join churches. And they said, oh, we're gay, but we don't practice it. So it's okay, right? We can be a gay Christian and it's okay, we don't practice it. And people said, well, I guess as long as they're not practicing it, they're okay. Well, what was shown to be true years later, those people were activists. They were acting to get the body of Christ, churchianity, to accept them as gay, and they were lying and saying they weren't really gay when all along they were still living the gay lifestyle. So it's like the Trojan horse coming in, and they disguise themselves as gays, not practicing it because we know it's sinful, all the while they were practicing it. So that's something to keep in mind. And these people that are not discerning by the word of God, not led by the Spirit, they get taken in by this. Because why? They want favor of the culture, favor of man. They want to keep the buildings filled. And they have a wrong motive. It's not the gospel motive. They're man pleasers, not God pleasers. So for the following reasons I want to go over, I would say it is sinful to call a person same-sex attracted Christian and openly allow them in any so-called body of Christ, let alone a true New Testament biblical gathering. Number one, God did not create them this way. He is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. By calling yourself same-sex attracted Christian, we're kind of, and I've read enough articles from some of these people saying, well, I've just been born this way. Ever since I was four, I've been attracted to men or been attracted to women. And so they give people this idea that, you know, God created us this way. And even though it shouldn't be this way, we're created that way. No, God's not the author of confusion. He did not create this sin and this wicked way. We see what it says in Romans 1. It's vile affections. That's not of the Father. Number two, the Bible calls us to the new creation, the new mind, the new life in Christ, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and repentance, 1 Peter 1:15, putting away sin, bringing this ungodliness and this mindset of homosexuality with the label of same-sex Christian, you're watering down the truth, and it's a stain on Christ and his true body. Number three, labeling a sin unto so-called God's people makes a mockery of God's character and nature. Right? God was never that way. In the Old Testament, he said, forsake your sin. In the New Testament, the same way. He gives the Spirit to those who obey him. We walk in holiness and obedience. Yep, we're going to wrestle and struggle with our flesh and all these things. We don't label ourselves as that, right? We don't walk in it and make excuses for it. We don't call ourselves something and go, I'm really trying to fight it. We'll talk about some of those labels here in a minute. Galatians 6, 7 says, God will not be mocked. You cannot label yourself sin and expect to worship a holy God. He will not be mocked. Number four, giving a name like same-sex attracted Christian is taking the focus off the life-changing power of the gospel and Christ and making it into a fleshly, human-centered thing. We're to decrease and Christ is to increase, John 3:30. I've seen so many people out in the world and worldly churchianity ooh and awe over these people. Yeah. And they make these people a big deal. Like they got to go out of their way to really reach out to these people in an extra different, extraordinary way. When this activity, this mindset, this same-sex attraction, it's not of God. They need to repent, deny it, put it away, and then they can enter into the body of Christ via the gospel. We don't label it and promote it as something different and special. And in that line, number five, it creates partiality in the body. 1 Timothy 5. See, we look at this man named Joe. He's just a regular Christian guy. He struggles with lust or porn or anger. And then there's this guy, Patrick. He's a same-sex attracted Christian. Oh, he's got so many more struggles than Joe, who's just a heterosexual who struggles with lust. You see, it creates a partiality, and they end up doing all kinds of things, writing books, having programs, special ministries, special conferences, just for them. This is not of God. God does not honor partiality in any way. Number six, oh, by the way, if you don't do those things, if you don't have programs, special ministries, special outreaches to them, the culture calls you homophobic. So you see, these so-called churchianity places are just catering to the government and to the culture to be people pleasers. Number six, it opens up the possibility of others around that they may also be same-sex attracted. Think about it. You got youngsters mingling with these people calling themselves same-sex attracted. All of a sudden they go, well, hey, maybe I'm that too. And they start investigating it, looking into it. And what happens? Satan, our enemy, the roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8, he gets his foot in the door and he creates all kinds of havoc and destruction. How about number 7? It sends a terrible message to the world looking in, who already sees the so-called church as corrupt, compromised, hypocritical, but it does even more damage, and it undermines the entire message of the gospel and the call of repentance, holiness, and purity, calling people same-sex attracted Christians. We're not to be yielding to or focusing on our flesh, right? Go read Romans 8. We're to be putting it down, walking in the Spirit. The flesh is going to lead to death. We don't want the world looking at us, focusing on sins. We want the world to see that we're focused on Christ and the gospel, calling people out of their sin. The next one would be so-called churches. They coddle this sin. And I think I talked about this a little bit. And they conform to the culture's pressure, not God's word. So the culture is putting pressure. There's a Christian college out there that says they don't discriminate against LGBTQ, which means they would enroll them. That's because they get tax-free money by doing that. Yeah, the culture is putting pressure on all these false systems. 2 Corinthians 6 says, come out of the world, be ye separate. They're all trying to fit in and find favor with the people of the world. And the last one I got is, it upsets God's created order. As think about this, normally in a body, you got the men keep with the men and the women keep with the women, unless they're in married family units, and then families can be together. What do you have now? You got Patrick, who's same-sex attracted. Well, he can't hang around the men because he might lust after the men. So who's he going to go hang around with now? The women. And Susie, who's same-sex attracted Christian, she doesn't want to hang around with the single women or the older women that are married. She's going to go hang around with the guys because she doesn't want to be attracted. Do you see the mess that this creates in God's body? It loses all type of order. And here's what I've seen. Feminism, I teach this all the time. Feminism is at the root of abortion, homosexuality, divorce, all of these things. Go read Genesis 3 and see how Eve bowed to feminism and led her husband into sin, and Adam was guilty. He went for it and he followed along. Feminism and this same-sex attracted. I've noticed, this is my personal opinion, that many, many, many women, far more than men, promote, defend, push, make excuses for, support gay, lesbian, homosexual, whatever you want to call it, same-sex attracted. Women seem to have a feminist mindset in this area, and they push it in these religious places. They push it in ministries. They bend the husband's ear and pastor's ear until they go, okay, I guess we need to get with the times. So feminism with the same-sex attracted ways is also creeping in even more, causing so much destruction. So those are the reasons I would give you why this is not of God. It shouldn't be done. It shouldn't be allowed in a true biblical body. So you may say, well, how do we handle them then? What do we do with these people? Well, when I'm out street preaching and homosexuals come up, and sometimes they'll be kissing in front of me, and then they go, what does God say about homosexuality? And you know what I do? I preach the gospel. I call out other sins, and I said, like any other sin, stealing, lying, hatred, anger, lust. Yes, you asked the question. Homosexuality is a sin per God's word, but it's no different than any other sin, and it will damn you just the same as all these other sins. What they like is they like when preachers attack them and their sin. I never do that. I just put them in with a category with everyone else, like myself before I came to Christ, a willful sinner, unregenerated with a reprobate mind. That's what you are. I used to be that. I could still be that today if I let myself, if I turn and turn back. We have a flesh, don't we? So how do we handle them, you might say? Well, the way we treat these people who claim they have same-sex attraction and maybe they say they're Christians, we don't treat them in some special side group, no special ministry. We don't give them special allowance, any extra special grace. No, it's no different than any other sin. They should be loved. told the gospel, invited to repent and come follow Christ, and if they choose to do that, then the expectation must be that they flee all sin, all immorality, all fornication, which would be same-sex attracted, and battle it in Christ's name. Denounce it, put it away, battle it. I'm not saying you're going to win instantly. I'm not saying you're going to win after 10 years. You might battle the rest of your life with that sin. It doesn't mean you ever put a stamp of approval on it. You don't start calling yourself a same-sex attracted Christian. You fight and battle. That's what endurance is all about. And is not every single Christian that I know and you know in the battle for the rest of their life over whatever they face? Yeah, some people have anger. They're going to face that the rest of their life. God helps us put it down. We can overcome it. But the flesh never goes away completely. Some people quit drinking, and alcohol is their problem the rest of their life. They smell it, they see a bar, they're tempted towards it. And so every Christian has to fight these same battles. Same-sex attracted so-called Christians, they got to fight that battle every day of their life. Now, God can change it. Some people, he takes it away completely and it's gone. Other people have to fight. I don't know the answer of all those things. God knows. But you preach the gospel, you invite them to come follow Christ, you tell them they must flee all sin and fornication, and if they cling to that sin, or if they make allowances for it, go read 1 Corinthians 5. Apostle Paul dealt with a man in sexual sin. I don't care if it was homosexuality, heterosexuality, in this case he was sleeping with his stepmother. Paul said, put him out. That's how Paul handled him. That's how loving Paul was. Paul loved him enough to put him out, so that he could turn from his sin and see the consequences. And you know what? Go read 2 Corinthians. The man repented and he was reinstated back in the body. That probably wouldn't have happened if Paul would have labeled him a man who sleeps with his stepmother Christian. Yeah. He needed to turn from that. And even though these same-sex attracted Christians will say to you, well, we're not acting it out, so you're wrong. We're not approving of it. They are approving of it because they say they're born that way. They say so many people struggle with this. They make a big focus out of it. They don't denounce it as a sin and move on. They carry it around like a pet, and it becomes a dangerous, dangerous thing. So we preach to them in love, call them out of their sin, call them to holiness. We don't need to label it special. We don't need any special conferences. We don't need to be writing books about it. We don't need to be saying they get extra special grace. No, it all is the same for every person. Come by repentance because of what Christ has done at the gospel and his shed blood. Be born again by the Spirit of God. Holiness and obedience. You cannot be a same-sex attracted Christian. And you must endure your fight, your battle, till the very end. So we are to reject, and I'm going to encourage you here, saints, reject everything that does not line up to the Holy Word and this same-sex attracted mindset. In Christianity, churchianity, is clearly a reproach against God and his holy name. We have to fight and we have to battle against it, just like we fight and battle against our flesh and our ungodly desires, whether they're lust or hate or greed, whatever they are. We can't embrace them. We can't take a name and a label. We can't downplay it and say, well, I'm just born this way. What's next? Adulterating Christians? Thievery Christians? Fornicating Christians? Yeah, it's all coming right around the corner. This same sexual movement, the next step, let me cover this real quick. When the gays wanted acceptance, all they said was, let us be gay and have civil unions. That's all we wanted. They got that. Then they said, all we want is gay marriage. They got that. They didn't stop. Now they say, we want to let kids in fourth grade decide if they're a boy or a girl and you can't stop them. Now they're coming after that. Now they're coming after same-sex attracted Christians so they can label themselves Christians. See, they don't tell the truth. They have reprobate minds. They're always nibbling away for more and more. That's what the flesh does. That's what Satan does. And so we have to stand against it. Labeling it something different doesn't change it. Putting lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. I'm not calling them pigs. I'm saying if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. If you put a same-sex attracted label, Christian, on a man, he's still the same person unless he cries out to God and he seeks after the new heart and the new mind, and then he battles it with all that he is. Because we all can go back to our wallow, can't we? We all can be pigs and go back to the wallow like Peter talked about. That's why we have to endure on. But bringing sins into the so-called body of Christ, labeling them with special names, is not helping anybody in their battle, not helping anybody in their journey, not helping anyone to overcome sin, to conform to the new man. No, what it's doing is it's propping up the old man, the flesh. And what's that all going to lead to? Death and wrath. Yeah, lest we repent. So we love people too much to stand and watch that happen. Whenever I hear of this, I reach out and I speak against it in love, and I get hated for it. I'm called homophobic. I'm told that I don't care and love anybody. I could never understand. See, they put themselves in a special category, and they expect everyone to kowtow to them. But God's not a respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of sins. He's not a respecter of labels. Everyone's going to stand in judgment before holy God. I love them enough to call them to repentance. Turn from this foolishness of same-sex attracted Christianity and repent to obey the gospel. I hope that blesses you with some points about this. You're going to run into it if you're doing any ministry or out in the world at all. It's everywhere. And so stand against it in love. It's the only hope these people have. If we fold and we stop preaching the truth, they have no hope. Because the churchianity places aren't doing it. The false pastors aren't doing it. The media's not doing it. Like I always tell people, they say, why are you out here street preaching? I always tell them, hey, the schools have let you down. The colleges let you down. The media's let you down. The government's let you down. The churches have let you down. Your family's let you down. Who else is going to tell you the truth? The street preacher is out here telling you the truth because he loves you. So tell them the truth in love. Call them to repentance. Same-sex attracted Christianity is just another attack from the enemy, Satan. I hope that has blessed you. A little bit of a different topic than normal, but it's a needed topic. Check out don'tperish.com. Check out the teaching blog or our teaching articles. All kinds of information there to help you grow in the faith. You don't got to label yourself after a sin. You can overcome. In fact, he promised eternal life for those who overcome. Go look up that verse for yourself. Till next time, thanks for listening. It's been Brother James. We love you all. May God be praised.